Okay, 1 Peter chapter 3, starting verse. We got through verse 7 yesterday.
You.
We talked about you.
I told you to listen.
Because you were gone.
I told you. Download it.
Well, we didn't study seven. Let's start with seven. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. There's a couple of major points in there that we didn't talk about. The only knowledge that you're dwelling with is the knowledge of the mystery of God and the revelation of the parable of marriage. If you don't do that, then you are going to try to gain sustenance from each other, or you're going to try to gain your identity from your wife. In a marriage, if either one needs the other, they shouldn't get married, because it will become disastrous. It will become a disaster. The only way, and this is the key here, there's two keys. One is, the woman is called the weaker vessel. It has nothing to do with her physical prowess or anything. It's a technical term that defines the vessel that the blood was carried in. It didn't have a stand, so it couldn't, you could never set it down. It always had to be embraced. And that's what the weak, that's what the word here means. It's a word referring directly to that sacrifice of the blood. Now, there's a whole lot about menstrual cycles and everything else. We can go into it. I don't want to do that today. But the point of it is you, if husbands are not dwelling with their wife according to knowledge, then what will happen is there will be massive tolerance, which is like death, or there will be massive acting, which is equally dead. What? You've got a sick look on your face.
No. You can act like you're tolerant.
Yeah.
Or just be oppression.
Well, and yeah, then that's a whole other world about the oppression.
No, no.
Is there, everybody, you're in agreement?
Yeah.
Okay. What were you gelling on? I know, but you were cogitating on some point that was made.
I'm digesting these words.
What were you cogitating on?
Personally.
What were you cogitating on? Because you left where we were talking about, and you were back here somewhere. No, I mean, what you're going through is for other people's benefit. So if you,
yeah, but I don't. It's not there.
Okay. All right.
They weren't reading ahead.
No, he was reading behind. As unto the weaker vessel, as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. There is nothing in a marriage that will destroy prayer worse than the husband not dwelling with the wife according to knowledge. There's nothing that will destroy a marriage quicker than not praying together. And yet it's probably the rarest thing that ever happens in a marriage. It can't be forced. It can't be, oh, this is a thing to do. It has to flow as natural as breathing. And that can only come by husbands dwelling together with their wives according to knowledge. Anybody have any response?
I just think about how Judy and I, we don't get on our knees and pray together, right? Because she wouldn't do it. But there's a prayer in our conversation.
that doesn't cut it.
And
That's not what this is talking about.
Yeah, well.
This is talking about praying together. You don't have to get down on your knees.
Well, I mean, you know, that anything religious, she just balks at. And so I can't. And I see that as part of, I don't know if that's what it is. But, I can't force her or push her in any way and get anything from her. It has to be.
Well, no, that's, I'm not asking you to force it or push it.
Yeah, well, I'm thinking about how.
Well, why do you think it says here that you do this according to knowledge, understanding that the wife is the weaker vessel, that your prayers not be hindered? Why would that last phrase be in there? That your prayers not be hindered. First of all, it assumes that there is prayer. Not prayer in conversation, not whatever that means. I don't know how in the hell you can say that. What does that mean? What does prayer in conversation mean?
Well, when we talk about somebody, we pray about it. It's just not a traditional,
I know, but I'm still trying to get a hold of what it means. What does prayer in conversation mean?
It's our thoughts and situations
we
talk about.
Okay, that's not prayer. You know that. So, again, that your prayers be not hindered.
Yeah, what would our prayers be?
Hmm?
Or did I miss that?
I didn't hear you.
What would our prayers be?
Well, it's talking about husbands and wives here. It says, husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered.
And one thing is that whether you're praying together or all, you know, wherever you have to be, if you're weird, you know, if things aren't whole, you know, between the husband and the wife, then it's like God didn't want to hear what you're talking about.
That's right.
And you're saying, oh, Lord, have this thing happen over here or do something. And it's like, well, you got to back up.
You got to. Yeah. But the whole. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. What does the church need? And therefore, what does the wife need in order to complete the parable? The church needs to know that God is and is a rewarder of them that deliberately seek Him. The wife needs to know in the same way, but in the wife's case, she has to know that she is loved without condition. That the love does not depend on her performance or her actions or her activity. And that she is safe. In the same way the church has to know that it's safe. Now, John and I and then Carolyn, when John was gone, had a number of talks about the idea that it was absolutely vital that Carolyn knew that she was safe when John was away. And what maybe John doesn't even realize is that he provided her that safety and a zone of comfort, even though he didn't realize he did. But the moment that the wife begins to feel that she's not protected, not safe, then she has to become a feminist. She has to give up the role of the parable and become, she has to wear the pants. Does that communicate?
It's like you go off in different directions.
Right. You don't have a wife or a husband. You got roommates that sometimes somehow tolerate each other. You got to understand from God's perspective, the husband and the wife, that parable, the relationship between the man and the woman is the most precious thing there is on the face of the earth.
Yes.
And it has to be nurtured. It has to be, it's considered precious. It has nothing to do with your opinions about it. What?
Several times yesterday I was thinking about what we talked about yesterday morning and about just being, knowing that I'm submitted and knowing that God is in control, and it just made me laugh. Knowing that there was nothing I had to worry about, there was nothing I had to do, that whatever was happening was what was perfect. It was what you're talking about right now. It was just that everything was okay. He'll never leave me. I don't have to worry.
Okay. Again, you got to hear this. That is the place that the husband has to give to his wife. What Harry just said. That there is absolutely nothing. She has to have total and complete rest, peace, safety. The Bible uses these two incredible words in Ephesians chapter 5. You can go look at it later. Just for no man ever yet hated his, it said, wait a minute, so men ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth it and cherisheth it, even as the Lord, the church. That's why, God doesn't need any more hunks of protoplasm running around. He doesn't give a holy rat's ass whether the world, people in the world get married or not. But he cares so totally that there be marriage in his bodies, and it be marriage according to knowledge. It be marriage that will have its purpose to reveal the parable to the rest of the body. It's a living parable. You can't, and I know what happens. What happens is you faint, you quit in your mind, and the marriage is dead. Even though you might remain married, you might be friends or something, or semi friends, but you quit. Anybody have any response?
I've been thinking, since we've been talking about our 25th anniversary and everything, it was really apparent that, without a place to do just that, to feel safe, to make those risks, take those risks to keep, take a step out there, then, we wouldn't have been married 25 minutes. So,
again,
have a place that encourages what you're just talking about.
But it has to be, if it's not working, it has to be brought to whoever is your covering. It cannot be just let loose. It can't be let alone. Otherwise, your prayers will be hindered, and it will affect the entire body, because there will be a root of bitterness, and many will be defiled by that root of bitterness. People, they may live in the same house or same apartment or wherever, but they're living two separate and complete lives that have nothing to do with each other. And I've seen it over and over and over again. In the world, it's commonplace, but it's absolutely forbidden in the body of Christ. Husbands, love your wives according to knowledge. Husbands, love your wife as Christ loved the church. He risked everything. And the good news is, the mystery is, If you don't see marriage, if you see marriage as a thing in itself, then you will never, ever, ever see. That's why, you know, it's the most difficult thing in the universe to get married here. Why? The point of all this is we have got to begin to nurture and see and communicate, and if it isn't happening like it is, you've got to be submitted to whoever is your covering. We've got to stop the tolerance and acting. I mean, I don't care whether it's with Michael and, you know, I mean, this is too important, and you've got to see that it's important. You know, I felt so badly that I wasn't there when Kevin and Angela renewed their vows. I assume you did it, right? Did you? Because there was a whole lot I wanted to say, but I was so out of it I couldn't even get out of bed that night. But it's a major deal. All right.
The term covered is something that came up between Angela and I a few months ago. She asked me what it means to be covered.
What'd you tell her?
Cause and effect. You're under grace and mercy of me and the body.
There's an order in the body of Christ that is both there and it isn't there, because each one of us individually are priests and kings in the mystery of God. We don't need anybody else between us and God, but there is an order in the body so that there is the covering. Covering isn't a place you go to get told what to do. That's the opposite of what a covering is. A covering is only there if there is problems, if there are problems. The purpose of the covering is to go if there is a problem. Now, in the order of things, it goes from the Seder and the Bible study teachers to the elders, I suppose, to me. Or to me and then the elders, or the board of directors or whatever. But the problem here is that pride is keeping different people from going to the covering. And so it's got to stop. Because otherwise we're not a body, we're just a bunch of people living around near each other. You know, sometimes I find out there's a problem and it's 6 months later. Well, that's intolerable. Anybody else?
You know, there's a little different subject here. The reason people stay here is like we seldom serve cookies at a Bible study, you know. We don't entice people. And if they don't know why they're coming, if there has to be something titillating or... You
know. There's a whole lot of places more titillating than here.
Yeah.
I like that word.
I know you do. I figured you would.
Has onomatopoeia.
Yeah, this place you get coffee.
What are you mumbling about?
He's mumbling about food. I tried it.
It's cooking.
Oh, all right.
So I've talked to a lot of people who describe their church, and they got all these wonderful activities, you know, that really cause people to, you know, come. And that's fine. But it's why they stay, or why anyone would stay here. You know, if you're not interested in hearing...
I stay for the work days.
No, I mean here. Look, let's spend a minute on this. What I saw and I resisted like mad was that there would be an environment in which there is no difference between religion and life. or there'd be an environment where there's no difference between education and life. That there is no separation, there's no sacerdotal spirit in any part of life, that it's all one because it's all of Him. This is what I always hope for this community. And it requires that we be submitted one to another. And when people aren't over the critical issues, then it always happens. They end up leaving. Not because anybody wants them to leave. The only time I've ever asked, I think I've asked two people to leave. Gary Martin and, what's the other guy's name? Russell Grandjean. In all of 30 years. And then that wasn't a leaving for permanent. I told them back if they got their head out of their hat.
That thing that Kevin said a couple minutes ago, I was thinking about this even before he said it. Over the years, I've had relationships of varying lengths with three different women that were women that I thought were attractive and that I thought that I'd like to marry or at least live with. And all three of them blew me and this place off because, as you know, I like a certain kind of woman. And if they couldn't be the authority, if they couldn't be the be-all, if there had to be any openness, any sharing, any other people involved in what was going on, that was totally unacceptable. And in some cases described as crazy and blah, blah, blah. But, and I think that's been the case in some of these other situations where you have a woman whose high place identity is Queen of Heaven.
Well, all I know is that each person must not have any resentments it's all right to mourn if somebody leaves, but you can't dwell on it. You pray for them, and then you give it to God, and you live as unto the Lord.
Back, right?
And they come back,
Sometimes they come back like Wade or Rex.
Right. Well, I'm sure that if the society gets in trouble, there'll be a whole lot of them that come back.
Yeah.
But we, again, I say it, we must be faithful to what we see. That is what we are called to do. We are called to submit to one another, to submit to other authorities, to make sure that what we see is not some harebrained deal. And I think we've done that. I think we've talked often that we have at least five witnesses, not just two or three, for everything we're doing. And so, criticism is going to come. They're going to hate you and think they're doing God. They're going to kill you and think they're doing God holy service. And they're going to, all the other things that we're warned about. But, again, we must be grounded, standing on the rock as our only source. Amen? Any other thought?
What Harry said earlier struck me and staying with me about, but maybe slightly different way of thinking about it is that the freedom to make a mistake and to screw up is something that gives peace.
Yeah, it's something people. Harry and others used to say, you never make a mistake. And I said, you've got to be kidding.
He used to say that.
Well, you're not the only one. Many people did.
That now.
I mean, it's just crazy. I mean, I don't know. They must have blinders on. Good. Because that's what causes something to be a cult when people believe that crap.
You never tell me you're Oklahoma.
I can give you a whole lot of others.
That's just
the one that comes to mind.
The
$42 million one.
That's the one that's right there. That and the Tilton Bride.
You think I should have taken the Tilton Bride? Which one? The 500,000 or the 5 million or the
Yeah, the big one, and then not keep the bargain. Just take the money.
I never knew why people people didn't always do that.
You don't have to be honest with Tilton.
I'm not being honest with Tilton.
Take his money.
No. But I want you to hear this. This thing I said. Husbands, dwell together according to knowledge. Etc., etc. That your prayers not be hindered. Search the scriptures if you must, but make sure that that's what's happening. And if you don't see it happening, speak to it.
But it could just as easily say, well, brethren dwell well with each other in knowledge.
Well, but that's, let's not soft soap. Let's not spread it out too thin right now. Let's concentrate on marriages, all right?
And to not dwell in knowledge is to dwell out of obligation or need.
Or fear. Fear of somebody leaving. Fear of being left alone.
And that is so obvious in the marriage relationship when issues arise.
Right. And I encourage you, if for those that are married, I mean, you've got to talk to people if it isn't happening like that.
It's very encouraging to me that parable of the vessel that can't stand on its own.
That's us as a body.
It's very encouraging to me to know that that's what's supposed to be. It's not something wrong.
Right. God has sure fixed my wagon so I can't stand up alone. My nice little independence has just gone totally to hell.
It's funny. I mean, that's always been the case, but we don't know it. We don't believe it.
Right. Well, I mean, yeah. But that's what got me. The idea that I remember when Norman Grubb was speaking that even though I'd been relatively successful, I knew that I was born to lose. And because I knew that what I was successful at, I was bored at.
What's the name of your biography?
What?
That's the name of your biography, Born to Lose.
Anyhow.
Andrew's theme song, Born to Lose Blues.
Can I finish here? When I recognized that God could only use us if we're failures, that was the most freeing thing that I had ever heard in my... I mean, that's what broke through the hardness of my own heart, where nothing else could. I mean, people always say, are you saved? And, I've told you this. I had a penthouse apartment. I had a hot Mustang, a new Cadillac. I had just about any woman I wanted, good money. And I say, are you saved? And I say, saved from what? That's what one of the things we're going to talk about if I ever get to it. That's what I wanted to talk about today until we got in this damn marriage crap. About how you talk to people about the mystery. That's coming up. That's in a couple more verses. Huh? Who did that, Ronnie? It was Ronnie.
We backed up.
Don't you start laughing at me. All right, take it, big guy. I'm tired.